This week in Retronauts, we're going to talk about, get this, some old games. Everyone, welcome to episode 263 of Retronauts. I'm Jeremy Parrish, and this week, like I said, we're going to talk about some old games, but specifically we're going to talk about old games as seen through the lens of Nintendo Switch Online. And if you don't like that, it's all Chris Sims' fault. Chris, introduce yourself.
I'm Chris Sims, and Super Mario World is Metroidvania.
All right.
Hi.
Good, productive conversation happening here.
Hi, I'm Benj Edwards, and Deadly Towers is a Metroidvania as well.
Wow, everyone's terrible. Okay, Ben, you need to salvage this.
What's your game, Ben? What's your game?
I'm Ben Elgin's, and God, I can't remember.
Ben's Elgin.
See, we broke the plural. We took like a 5 minute
I'm Ben Elgin, and Symphony of the Night is a goddamn Metroidvania.
That is correct. Okay. It's fake. Okay.
This guy thinks he's so fun.
I can see this is going to be a great episode. Okay,
it's
going to
be a fun time.
So basically, because the game Brawl Brothers, or Brawl Bros, maybe, I don't know, showed up on Nintendo Switch Online, Chris Sims was like, I want to talk about that episode, or that game. So I decided to give an entire...
I decided to
dedicate an entire episode to talking about Brawl Bros. Man, that's a tough one to say.
Rushing Beat 2.
Okay, yes, Rushing Beat 2, the American version.
So the upshot here is this is all Chris's fault.
Mm-hmm. I take no blame
Whatever
for this
happens,
episode. So I said, why don't we talk about Nintendo Switch Online in general, what it is, and what games are on NSO that are interesting? Instead of just going through all, 60 games that are on NSO, what I've done is I've said we have three categories, the standards, the highlights, and the WTF stuff. Actually, okay, that's per platform, NES and Super NES. Anyway, we're going to talk about those three categories per platform. So why doesn't someone else talk about what NSO is exactly?
I think it's a really, really great idea.
What is NSO?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's a great idea.
Yes,
what it is
great.
You give Nintendo some money, and then you can play a bunch of NES or Super NES games anywhere you want on your Switch. You don't have to purchase them individually. It's all a package deal. It's super cheap too. If you pay by the year, it is not a lot of money at all.
It's $19, I think.
Yeah.
Or $20.
Mm-hmm. Plus it's the way that you can play Smash Brothers online.
Yeah. So actually Nintendo Switch Online is really meant to be the online competitive voice chat kind of whatever, head to head gaming service. And it just so happens that in addition to getting all that access, you also get free access to a bunch of old games.
Yeah,
it's kind of a secondary function, but for us, it's all we care about.
That's the primary.
It's a game
function.
Subscription service as a bonus to the general online connectivity service.
They've kicked Virtual Console over to a Netflix
style
model.
It is dead.
Basically,
they're all dead, Jim. Mm-hmm. The package is in the open.
Game over, man.
If you spent $7 to get Super Metroid on Nintendo 3DS. Who is the fool now?
I think it was actually more than that, wasn't it? Was it $7?
I think Super NES games were $7.99.
Okay.
Maybe.
I like this model better than the Virtual Console because of that thing. There's a lot of games where you play it for 10 seconds and you're like, I don't really like it, but you just spent $7 on it on the Virtual Console. Here, it doesn't matter because you've already bought into the whole library of expanding games.
Yeah, Nintendo Switch Online's retro games, the selection is kind of weird because at this point, I think, because the original Virtual Console was pretty successful and made people say, hey, there's value and interest in old video games, most of the Wii Virtual Console partners have said, we'll do our own collections now. So you can get Sega Genesis Collection. You can get Konami's Contra and Castlevania and Gradius collections. There's all kinds of collections of games that used to be, once upon a time, on Virtual Console, and those are no longer accounted for. And so what you do mostly get is Nintendo and some weird Konami games that are not going to be compiled anytime soon into other services, and then the licensing whores like Jolico and Capcom. But even with Capcom, it's here's the stuff we can't put into another package. It's leftovers. It's a really strange collection. Yeah, it's Nintendo Switch Online, the leftovers.
All the finest leftovers.
So, like, I'm torn on the whole structure of this, because normally I'm not huge on subscriptions, because I feel like every time I pay for a subscription, I worry that I'm not, like, actually using it enough to get the value out of it. But on the other hand, it is cheap, and there's definitely a place for sort of the also-rans that you're not going to actually, like, that are not going to end up in a premium collection that you're probably not going to shell out for individually. So I can definitely see it as useful to have something like this just to have those things out there.
And this actually breaks the cycle of, I used to have a joke where you buy Super Mario Bros. 3 10 right. times in a row or something. Finally, yep. I can't do that again on here. But it's weird for me because I've been playing all these games since they were new, basically. And I've played them on emulators. I've played the originals continuously. So I don't know what this experience is like for people who are just coming to it for the first time, who haven't played Super Mario Bros. 3 in 20 years or ever. You know, do they like this? Do they think this is a quality service? I have no idea, because I've not played through a single game on one of these Nintendo Switch Online things yet. I played them for a few minutes or something.
I mean, I feel like if you haven't played the big standards that are in this, then it's only an even better deal. Because, I mean, there's a lot of really good games in here that are you know, good games that are worthwhile. It's just we've all played them 20 times.
Yeah,
we've played them.
Yeah, so I don't know what it's like.
As listeners might recall, I had not played Super Metroid until I got a Super NES Classic. But because I have to, like, unhook things to hook up the Super NES Classic and sit very close to the television, I didn't finish playing it. I'm, like, several hours into Super Metroid on Nintendo Switch Online.
Ah.
Yeah, Chris was just telling us he was lost in Super Metroid.
I have no idea where to go.
Trying to figure out where he is. But
so there's a good thing about it is I really wanted to play Super Metroid a few years ago on a handheld, just, like, in bed or something. And there was no real way to do it. I don't think I didn't have a good emulation system.
One of those, like, janky Retron systems.
Yeah, I could have done that. But
or you could play Metroid Zero Mission, which is basically a Super Metroid skin on original Metroid.
No, it's not Super Metroid.
It's not Metroid.
But this solves that problem. I could pull a Wii U by the bed or something, and, you know, use the controller on it. It was on the virtual console on the Wii U, right? Yeah, I think it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a portable Super Metroid, but it's cool to put all these in an official portable platform with a good presentation. Good emulation. That's a great thing. I think it adds a lot of value to their service.
I have said for years, like since the dawn of Virtual Console, that Nintendo should just put Super Mario Brothers on everything they sell. When you buy a system, it's got Super Mario Brothers on it, because it is a video game that teaches you how to play video games, and they've made their money on it. They have made...
They can make more money on it, Chris.
They can, but they have made enough where I think they should just give it to
you. You don't understand how capitalism works, do you? There's no such thing as enough money.
I understand all too well. But this is that, right? And I think the function of this is not only that you get a Switch, you sign up for the online thing, and now you have like a ton of games that you can play on an airplane. You can play Super Metroid anywhere now, which is awesome.
Yep.
But it also teaches... people who might not have the history, or younger players, like, what these games are. How are you going to sell a game billed as a Metroidvania on the eShop if nobody knows what a Metroidvania is? Give them Super Metroid and then say, now go buy 15 games that are just like this, if you like it.
Yeah, the thing is, everyone knows what a Metroidvania is now.
And I mean,
That's why there's all these articles where people are like, we need to change what we call these games. I'm telling you, everyone who uses this term casually, that you're not allowed to do that anymore.
Well, it's that the guy who invented the term is...
sitting somewhere in this room.
I don't know who that is, but...
Yeah, we had a whole episode on that.
But I do think it's...
Three, actually.
I think it's very fun to... Or very smart to keep the language... of video games in circulation, because these are, in a lot of ways, like, in addition to the classic stuff, but yeah, Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario World,
all Super fine Metroid. Games, but where's the in-app monetization, Chris?
I would do a microtransaction for objective markers in Super Metroid, because I'm old and have been trained by current generation games.
All right, so now that we've laid down the basics of what NSO is more or less, Let's talk about the games. And there are two platforms of classic games currently available on Nintendo Switch Online. Maybe there will be more in the future, but I actually doubt it. So we'll start with the NES games, and we have three categories here: standards, highlights, and WTF. And specifically what these categories that I've created are, the standards are not just like, hey, let's talk about a game that is on a lot of different platforms, but specifically, what is a game that is on a lot of different platforms and you're ready to see retired? Like, let's throw in the towel and stop putting this game on systems. Then there is the highlights. Games we're surprised to see, but we're glad they made the cut. They're like the pleasant surprises that you did not expect to see on Nintendo Switch Online. But hey, it's great that they're here. And then finally, WTF, like, why did this show up? Like, who was demanding this game, aside from maybe some sort of rights holder? So let's kick things off, and I will, I'll go first with this first category, just to set the tone by Cracky. So with the standards, the games I could live without, I'm going to name Ice Climber and Ghost and Goblins. And Ghost and Goblins is a fine and classic game. However, what we keep getting is the NES version, which is poop. It is actually a bad version of a classic game made by, like, one dude in his college dormitory. I think that's pretty much what Micronics was. It was ported, it was farmed out to a subcontractor called Micronics that did a lot of work for Capcom and then SNK. So apparently they were based in Osaka someplace. And they were known for making extremely poor conversions of NES games. Ghost and Goblins is kind of interesting because it was one of the first, if not the first, NES game to use an advanced mapper to allow it to have more, like a larger cartridge, more memory, more content in the game. But despite the fact that it used advanced technology that was not available to something like Super Mario Brothers, it is much worse than Super Mario Brothers. It is a game where it's full of random hazards and you have to be careful not to pick up the wrong weapon because it will totally screw you over. And then once you finally manage to beat it, assuming you somehow can, you have to do it again, but harder and using a specific weapon.
But you don't have to.
You have to. Otherwise, Prin is going to be trapped forever in hell.
That's okay.
Oh, man. What kind of hero ignite are you? You do not deserve to wear the noble polka-dotted underwear of Sir Arthur, my friend.
I'd rather play ice hockey.
Okay.
Just kidding. No.
So yeah, do you guys want to stand up for Ghost and Goblins?
No, well, this is what I feel about Ghost and Goblins.
Not really.
At the time, when I didn't know it was an arcade conversion, I thought it was really cool looking, but it was just extremely hard.
Yeah, it's got
I couldn't get anywhere in it.
It's got a fun aesthetic, but it just wants to kill you. It's like I want to be the guy only without the irony. Like
I want to like it, I just don't play it.
I have some thoughts, but I think I'm going to save them until we get to the Super NES.
Okay.
Okay.
Interesting. Oh, yes, of course. Mm. So I will say that if you are willing to do a little DIY, the Mr. FPGA clone all-in-one system that is, you know, like an open source creation, that does support the Ghost and Goblins core. So if you would like to play Ghost and Goblins, the real game,
the arcade,
in your home, it's pretty accessible now. I mean, there's a certain threshold of accessibility with anything involving the Mr. It's very complex. But if you don't mind dealing with that, then that is a way to do it. It's not plug and play like Nintendo Switch Online is. I wish there were a way to plug and play it, but there's not.
It will be eventually. They're working on it.
Yeah. But right now it's early days. It's very much like MAME. Like eventually you're going to get like the hyperspin front ends and things like that, the equivalent.
I can't wait. That'll be awesome. Yes,
the retrodes. Anyway, the other game I want to call out as garbage is Ice Climber, which I realize some people have fond memories of that because they were children and it was the only cooperative game they had, and so they fooled themselves into thinking it was good and fun. I'm sorry, children, you were wrong, but that's okay because we all become wiser as we grow older, and there's no shame in saying, as a child, I did not know much. Ice Climbers is bad and sucks, and I don't care if you like them in Smash Brothers. They are originally from a bad game, and it's basically Mario Brothers, but much, much worse, because it has, like, every level is the slippery ice levels, and you have to, like, constantly climb by jumping, but your jumping really sucks, so it's not fun.
Yeah, the controls just don't feel good. No. The opposite of the way Mario controls just feel good.
I have a story about Ice Climber. When I started collecting NES games in the early to mid-90s, I was looking for a copy of Ice Climber because I really wanted that some of those first-run games that have the pixel art on the front, you know, with the black box. And I could not find a working copy of Ice Climber. I went to
It's because everyone
Funko Land
smashed it with a hammer when they played it. Yeah,
they probably did. I went to Funko Land, which was a used game chain, later turned into GameStop or something. I don't know. And yes. I bought a copy of Ice Climber, and I brought it home. I was like, I finally got Ice Climber. It doesn't work. And then I took it back, and I went to another one, and I waited a long time. I said, do you have any Ice Climber? And then I bought an Ice Climber. It didn't work either. So I never played it, like, on the original Nintendo until...
You lucked out.
Yeah. I think I... So it was always this mythical thing in my head, like, this game looks awesome. It's going to be great. It's going to be one of those really great games. Like, I like pinball, like, one of the... and pro wrestling and
you know I might era almost, games. If I'm gonna climb up an icy mountain, I might almost rather play like Alpiner, the like TI-99.
Yeah, that's a good game.
Yeah,
King of the Mountain. It's got fun.
Yeah, climb up the mountain.
So yeah, Ice Climber. You know, with Mario Brothers, the original Mario Brothers, Nintendo remade that for Game Boy Advance and the Super Mario Advance games and Mario and Luigi as a bonus mode, and they changed up the physics a lot. So it was much more fun and approachable and modern.
Yeah,
They just need to do that with Ice Climber. Exactly. Stop giving us the NES version, remake the damn thing, make it fun.
Yeah, the controls are terrible on Ice Climber. They're just terrible.
I could see a fun version of Ice Climber existing. It just doesn't yet.
Ben, what is your pick for garbage that needs to go away?
So I think I want to switch up my answer from what I have in the notes. I know, crazy. So I'm looking at the list here, and you know, I actually think I want to go with Dr. Mario. It's not it's not that it's a bad game.
Now that Dr. Mario World is out.
You were right, yeah. Oh like, gosh. Like it's not that it's a bad game.
We don't need
that
one anymore.
But it's an early take on trying to recapture Tetris's magic, on doing the following blocks, doing the match colors, and it's really just okay.
Yeah, there's not enough complexity to it.
Yeah, there's
Are
not that
kidding?
Much to it.
Dr. Mario is awesome.
It can be, I
fight,
would rather.
Guys, fight.
Fight.
I would rather be playing Puyo Puyo. If I'm going to be playing something where you're matching colors and causing chain reactions, I would rather be playing Puyo Puyo. And Dr. Mario is on everything, and I'm kind of done with it.
I have a weird Dr. Mario story if you want to hear it.
Of course you do.
It's not, I don't know if it has a point or a resolution, but it's just a memory I have, which is that one of my dad's coworkers at a company, like at his company, they would have these regular yearly get-togethers for Christmas or something. And this guy at the time was ancient. He was like 70. To me, and that was ancient because I was a little kid, and he loved video games, so he challenged me to a game of Dr. Mario, and but the problem was is like we went upstairs to his rec room, and his TV was like a 15-inch TV, and it was like 20 feet away, and this is a 70-year-old guy, and he could somehow, I don't know how we had controllers that long.
He was farsighted.
Yeah, I could not see the damn TV, and he's like, what, you're not good at video games? And he's just kicking my ass.
Never challenge an old person to Dr. Mario. This is the only game they play.
Old people love Dr. Mario because my story about it is I have a lot of nostalgic affection for Dr. Mario because it was the one Nintendo game that my dad had.
Hmm.
Not like for me. He bought a Nintendo for himself, put Dr. Mario in it, and never took it out. He would play Dr. Mario for a couple hours every day after work to kind of unwind, which... The olds love Dr. Mario.
Maybe that's why it's here. Maybe it's there for
casual,
them.
It's a casual, the original casual
it's,
game.
It's there of, for yeah. them. And like again, it's not
Put some
a bad
microtransactions
game.
In that one.
It's not a bad game. I'm just kind of done with it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean the other thing I had on here was volleyball. I don't know if that's going to stand, but that was just a, like, why is this on here? Because it's just Nintendo volleyball is not a good game.
Yeah, volleyball is not a sport you can really adapt into.
Well,
a
but
game
there's
unless
even
it's
there's better
what about extreme beach volleyball.
There's better Super volleyball Super games on the NES,
Super
but they're not
ball.
Here. Like, yeah, there's good volleyball games on NES. This is not one of them. There's also good early sports games from Nintendo on the NES. This is not one of those either. It's the bad one. So, like, why is it here? I don't know.
Yeah,
then just rolls right into your opinions. So let's
go
with those.
Now that you define it as something that's an old hat thing that we don't need
that,
anymore.
That was defined.
I mean, yeah, but I didn't really understand it because I couldn't read very well.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. Well, there we go. Good reading thing you're a writer as opposed to a reader.
Yeah. Damn, that's cold. So my choice is Donkey Kong because what an abysmal. Port of a great arcade game.
It's not abysmal. It's just missing a stage.
It's actually not that
it's
bad.
Actually, it's actually, it was by far the shortened. Best available conversion of the game at the time.
At
I like,
home, yeah.
I think the Atari 800 version, the NES version, probably two of the best home conversions. But still, they keep publishing it. I really wish they had the, you know, there's some kind of rights issues with the arcade Donkey Kong.
You can buy arcade Donkey Kong on Nintendo Switch through Arcade Archives.
Yeah, now you can, but there's, for years no, they couldn't.
Right, they couldn't, but now it's redundant. Yeah, you don't need the NES version now. Yeah, because that's true. Yeah. You can get the real thing on Switch, right? The same system.
Yeah, that's the NES what is I'm okay, saying. But the arcade's
so I'd rather play the arcade one on an emulator than the NES port.
And you don't have to pay a monthly fee to play it. You just buy it once and you're done.
Yep, that's true. Although I love the arcade Mario Brothers that they finally published that on Switch. Oh man, it's a great game.
Yeah, they need to put a few more of those weird games on there, like
Punch Out. Or something. No, Punch they did that there. Already. Okay,
they need to get Donkey Kong 3 on there. Is that on there too?
I feel like a blank spot. Nintendo Online thing. Is that what we were talking about the arcade one?
Yeah, the arcade one.
I don't know if it is. No. But anyway,
that's Donkey Kong 3 and Donkey
Kong
2.
So we should know this stuff already. Let's not get too sidetracked here. Chris, why don't you talk about the sports games you hate and don't want to see ever again?
I put Tecmo Bowl on here because who cares? Like, I don't know. Is Tecmo Bowl generally well regarded?
What?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
It's one of the greatest. Deeply beloved.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest sports games of all time.
Weird.
Yeah.
I think Tecmo Super Bowl is more beloved, but people do like Tecmo Bowl a lot.
Okay.
There's a community that continues modding Tecmo Bowl and Tecmo Super Bowl to bring the current rosters into the game for the current season.
Yep.
So there are like Tecmo Bowl 2019 tournaments and stuff.
All right. Well, then I guess it's just not to my taste. I'm willing to accept that, though, because I have two others.
Okay.
And these, I think, are controversial. Mario Brothers.
No, it's like Donkey Kong. Now that the arcade version is on there. No, it's Mario Brothers is fine.
No, Mario Brothers is bad. It's boring and bad.
It's fine. It's a fun game. But now that the arcade version is on there, there's no reason to have the NES version because it's not as good.
We should maybe clarify we're talking about the single screen Mario Brothers. Not Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, just
to make sure we're
Super Mario Brothers is great.
This is Sub Mario Brothers.
Yeah, the original Mario Brothers with
that's
the pipes.
A different kind of game altogether.
On the one screen.
The other one, and again, I don't know if this one is beloved or not, but I have strong memories of it from my childhood.
People do love it.
Yeah. Star Tropics.
It's kind of bad.
I feel about it the same way that you feel about Ice Climbers, because I want to love it, because I had the Nintendo Powers when I was a kid. The world layout looked so cool. The problematic Jungle Native stuff was...
The banana in your ear.
Yeah. But, like, every time I play it, I'm like, oh, this is bad Zelda. Mm-hmm.
It's clunky. Bad Zelda. It's clunky.
And so, like, what I want them to do, like, if we want to keep Star Tropics around... I really want, like, Star Tropics Remastered, Star Tropics Legacy.
Yeah, you know? I'd be up like, for that.
Remake the core game. But
Zoda's
with, like,
Revenge.
It says a lot that Nintendo did not release their own game, Star Tropics, in Japan, their native territory, their home territory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was specifically made to appeal to American audiences,
it was,
right?
And they were like, yeah, our kids back in Japan, they're not going to like this.
Yeah,
so that's
not bad Zelda.
It has a lot of cool ideas in it.
See, that's the thing. I want Star Tropics to exist as a concept. Yep, I just feel like this game is bad.
Okay, I'm
This is one of my wife's favorite games, so I have to stand up to defend it in the sense that it was an accessible Zelda for people who didn't like fantasy tropes. It's like American.
I think it's
modern.
It has because it's really, really difficult.
It is. Difficult. Okay,
I think it has more direction to it.
Thematically,
it's like original Zelda is very, you know, it was original Zelda was like the open world of the NES,
so good.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
But for someone who's looking for a little more handholding, a little more directed experience, then Star
what
Tropics
I'm saying
is
thematically accessible.
It is hard.
That too.
I absolutely feel like there is value to the themes and to the aesthetics even. Like, I think it looks cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have tried to play it so many times.
The hero is a straight up lifted from the Goonies.
Yeah, he uses a yo-yo.
His name is Mikey and he uses a yo-yo. Yeah. Just like in the Goonies games.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I feel like if you want to keep Star Tropics in the public consciousness, re-releasing the original is just going to make people not like Star Tropics.
They're like, oh, I love this game. Oh, okay. Yeah. I get that.
So what do you think? Do you think you should just jump into the second one?
Is the second one good?
No.
Zelda's Revenge?
Not really. I haven't.
I never played it because I could never finish the first one.
It's very hard. It's about the same.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing.
Didn't they update the like movement controls a little bit so they're not quite as janky?
I wanted to play it so bad.
And you're like saving Tetris pieces from space or something. It's kind
of
weird.
Well, the plot's always weird, but that's kind of a part of its charm.
Do a Link's Awakening for Star Tropics. And
there you go.
No, because they would keep it exactly the same, and that's not what we want.
Yeah.
Update the movement controls.
Yeah.
Star Tropics Legacy.
Because I mean, a lot of what's clunky about Star Tropics is the strict grid based controls, and it's just so hard to get it to do what you want. So I figure, I feel like if you updated that, and you would have to change some design and enemy placement and stuff, but you could do something much better.
Here's a novel idea. Why don't we make this game easy to control?
Yeah.
That's what they all should have said back in the day. But then, I mean, that's before Super Mario Brothers let you change direction.
Is important.
So we've been negative. Let's be positive.
Yes. Yeah.
What are the highlights here? You know what? I'm going to go first because why the hell not?
So the
games I want to call out are Versus Excitebike, which is like Excitebike, but not exactly. It's way better. This is not some like, we reissued the game with better graphics. There's all kinds of stuff in Versus Excitebike. For instance, there's Versus mode where you can play against another person instead of just like random bikes that are biking across the screen. Mm-hmm. And also there's a track editor, which you can now save because you have save states in Nintendo Switch Online. It's just a much better game. It looks better. It plays a little better. It's got more options. It's taking this kind of neat idea from Excitebike that didn't quite come through, especially in the US version where you could not save the track editor because you never had access to the tape cassette player recorder that was supposed to be your save system, and making it great. And it's cool that this game, which only came out in Japan for the Famicom Disk System, has resurfaced in the US from time to time. It's really nice of them to do that.
So now we need like a Mario Maker-esque online community so you can like share your tracks with people.
It's not that much diversity in the what you can create.
I mean,
you know,
yeah, it's
not
all
the track,
that
exciting.
With hills and stuff,
but
still.
Versus Excitebike is the coolest thing on here just because it adds, you know, Excitebike is a great game. It was beloved. And to find out as an American that there is a version where you can play two people at the same time and stuff. Oh, man. First time I heard about that, it blew my mind and I wanted to play it. I have the actual disc for the disc system. It was one of the first ones I got. It's really neat.
It's worth owning.
There's also a Mario Brothers remake for the disc system that's better.
Kaiteke Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because it has advertisements for Ramen and Mario 3 in it.
Yeah. And it came out as Mario Classic in Europe, which is cool. Mm-hmm. So that's my favorite version of Mario Brothers. Who said they didn't like Mario Brothers? You?
What?
That was
you?
Chris.
You?
The original Mario Brothers.
Yeah. The original
C for
Mario
Chris,
Brothers.
C for Contrarian.
Mm-hmm.
The other
controversy creates cash, baby.
Wow. The other game I want to call out is Vice Project Doom, which is not actually that great a game, but it's so different than everything else on Nintendo Switch Online. It's one of the later releases. It was from ICOM and American Sammy.
This is one of the few
it
things.
It has Chris Sims on the cover.
It does.
I swear to God. It looks like
so
Chris
this
Sims.
Who's the lady,
Chris?
Yeah, who is the...
Definitely doesn't look like my wife.
No.
Vice is actually one of the few things I remember renting, like from Blockbuster or wherever, back in the day for NES. And it was just one of those things that was so different from everything else that was big out there at the time. It had this very like gritty aesthetic, weird, but also like very weird supernatural gritty aesthetic with like giant floating.
It's kind
evil
of in
the same
little bucket as like Power Blade and Shatterhand.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, good times. I'm glad it's on there.
Is Shatterhand on here?
No.
No.
Should be.
Sadly.
No.
I also picked Vice Project Doom as one of mine.
Good man. Why don't we talk about your other picks?
Well, I did say...
What if Blaster Master starred Kurt Russell?
That was Vice Project Doom.
Wait, is there vehicle? Are there vehicles?
No, there's not.
No.
No, there are.
Are there? Okay.
Yeah, the first thing that happens in the game is you drive around. But it's like a...
Admittedly, it's been a long time since I played it. Yeah.
Okay, it's the Spy
Hunter. It's like Spy Hunter.
It's more like Adventures of Bayou Billy.
So there's like overhead. That's right. There's overhead.
Talking about the game segments. With fighting, shooting, and zapping.
Yep. Light gun sequences
in the bayou.
My other pick is a classic from my childhood, which is pro wrestling, which I think is a truly wonderful encapsulation of the art of professional wrestling, in that it is just full of complete weirdo characters. Mm-hmm. It for me, when I think about like wrestling in the 80s, before I think about the stuff that I have tattoos of, I often think about NES pro wrestling, and specifically Starman, whose flying cross chop was very easy to do, so mm-hmm. I would always play him and just keep hitting it over and over.
Yeah,
this is another one that I think, like, I want a Power Stone ass remake of pro wrestling, a full
just like multiplayer arena
a multiplayer arena battle with, like, you can go outside of the ring and use foreign objects. I think that would be so cool, and I think like getting people familiar with these characters in this form would be a big step towards that. I think it'd be really neat. I like NES pro wrestling a lot.
It's a great game.
Binge, what are your picks for? Wow, they put this on here.
I was surprised to see that they put Wrecking Crew on there, because sometimes I feel like I'm the only person who likes that game. I've heard people talk about it being terrible or something, but what I said on Twitter is it's like the most underrated first-party Nintendo game ever made, because it is a satisfying puzzle game. It is basically a puzzle game. I don't know if people approach it like an action game. It's just an action puzzle game. And you have to figure out the order and sequence in which to destroy the different types of blocks.
While avoiding form and spike.
Yeah, and I like that it extends the Mario Brothers universe a little bit, because it has Mario and Luigi.
And eggplants
and stuff. And sort of like a lost chapter of the Mario Brothers.
Crossover?
Yeah, it's like a lost chapter of the Mario Brothers legend.
It was Mario's last outing before Super Mario Brothers, where they were still like, what is this guy? They figured it out. Oh, he's a plumber who saves princesses from dinosaurs by eating mushrooms. That really pigeonholes a guy.
That is a very weird answer to that question.
Man versus man.
But it worked out.
Man versus nature. Man versus self.
Man versus dinosaur with mushrooms.
Plumber versus dinosaur.
Well, the cool thing about Wrecking Crew is you can pick any stage you want from the beginning and just try there's challenges.
There's a
stage builder. Yeah, my brother used to build crazy stages and let me try to beat them. And this was from a time when we had like 7 NES games, and one of them was Wrecking Crew, so we really played a lot of it. And the other thing I think is there was a Versus System version of this game that may have been
pretty
two
much
players.
The same thing.
Wasn't there a simultaneous two-player one?
No, I don't think it was simultaneous.
I wanted that to be simultaneous so bad. This could be a great co-op game, although it might mess up some of the puzzle sequences you have to do.
You need Versus Wrecking Crew to exist, is what you're saying.
Yeah, Versus Wrecking Crew, a two-player simultaneous co-op Wrecking Crew would be my dream game, and I swear there's one out there, but I don't remember. Somebody out there will tell me.
So also on your list of wow.
What's the other game? Mighty Bomb Attack?
You put Mighty Bomb Attack
on your list,
there.
Man.
Yeah, well, I'm not looking at it, you know.
All right, yes, that was the other
one. Yeah, Mighty Bomb Attack. That game is very underrated. It's surprisingly satisfying. I think I rented it when it was new, and I didn't like it that much, you know, a long, long time ago. And then years and years later, I played it on emulator, and I was like, wow, this is great. And so I was trying to track down a copy.
You have to know all the unexplained mechanics to understand, like, to play this game.
Yeah, it's
like
weird.
The fact that if you get 10 Mighty Coins, you get sent to a torture room as punishment for your greed. So you need to use your Mighty Coins before that happens.
Yeah, it's got... See, I didn't even understand that. That's weird stuff going on. You jump as high as the whole screen if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. And so you have to make sure you don't jump too high. It's like the opposite of Super Mario Brothers. It's like, or you'll run into guys, but you can sort of steer around. And it's I think Bomb Jack was an arcade game, but not Mighty Bomb Jack. I don't remember.
Mighty Bomb Jack, it was just like the NES adaptation. But there was a little more structure to it, a little more... there's some hidden secrets that you need in order to complete the game.
Yeah, the NES one has more adventure kind of feel to it than the single screen arcade game, which is more of a bubble bobble type single screen kind of thing.
Yeah, the original NES game shipped with this huge fold-out poster that showed kind of where all the levels relate to each other.
Really?
You're inside a pyramid.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ben, how about you?
All right, so I had kind of two categories of things here under the highlights. One is the ones that, like, they're not that surprising that they're here, but I'm glad they are. In that category, I had Blaster Master, which is just, I mean, it's been on a lot of platforms. It's got a pretty decent like sequel slash remake out now.
Two, actually. There's Blaster Master Zero and then Blaster Master Zero 2.
Zero, yeah, okay. So there's two of those, which are much better than sort of the earlier sequels, which we won't talk about.
That's not.
Yeah, those were bad. But the original is still, you know, it's tough, but it's good. It's got like super cool music. It's got a lot of fun graphics going on. It's got a lot of fun mechanics going on.
Peak Sunsoft.
Yeah, Peak Sunsoft. And I'm glad to have it on there. That's really cool.
It's a great game.
Another one I had in that category was Lolo. It's a classic puzzle game. Again, kind of in the action puzzle category. Good to have that on there. And then the other thing that I think is more out of left field, though, is Twinbee. So Twinbee is kind of, I think, the prototypical cute 'em up.
It is.
Yeah. Yes. So it's, you know, it's a side-scrolling shooter, but everything is incredibly
top-down.
Oh, that's right. The original. Right, yeah. This is the top-down one. And it's got like some... Does this one have shops?
I don't believe so. You're thinking of Fantasy Zone, aren't you? I don't think Twinbee games have... Maybe some of the very late ones.
I don't think so. Okay. It's too simple.
Twinbee, yeah, it's more straightforward. You're shooting bells.
Yep.
That pop out of the environment. Yeah, it's kind of Zevius-ish, where you can bomb the ground.
Okay, so this is the one that's more... Yeah.
I have... by the time this episode is out, I will have looked at the sequel to this on NES, Stinger, on NES Works. So you can check that out on my YouTube channel. But that one switches things up with a side-scrolling element also.
Okay.
But yeah, this game was not released in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah. So I was a little off track with that. But it's still a really cool thing to have on here. Again, just to, like, starting this whole like cute shooter genre. Mm-hmm. And again, yeah, it's not something that's been available a lot. So it's pretty cool that it's on here.
That's a good one for surprises, because I remember other people in the media or something saying they were surprised at how fun Twinbee was. And we didn't expect it to be.
It's a good game. Great.
Yeah, it's a good game. Good series. So then let's talk about the NES what the hell stuff, because there are some weird things on here. Chris, why don't we kick off with you this time?
Yeah, I feel like one of the weirdest things about the NES for games on Nintendo Switch Online is that there are special versions, and I don't know if you guys have dove into any of these. But they're essentially like weird little Game Genie ROM hacks.
It's not even Game Genie. It's a save state, someone beefed
up a save state and said, here you go, for it.
Like, the one for Zelda is, you start at the beginning of Zelda, but you have all the stuff. You have all the weapons and all the hearts and everything.
And like, some just of the not, caves are bombed open already, right? Aren't
yeah,
they?
Like, I think everything that's hidden is open.
Yeah.
So it's, if you want the experience of playing Zelda, but you just kind of want to cruise through it, like...
You don't want to be hunting for which bush you have to burn.
Story difficulty, which I think is kind of neat, but I think it's weird to do it. And I think it's weird to do it in the way that they've done it. Because I think there's one for...
There's one for minigames, Ninja Gaiden.
Ninja Gaiden that puts you right at the last level.
Yeah, it just puts you at the last
which
boss.
Which is like, if you can't beat Ninja Gaiden by playing it from start to finish, you're not going to beat it just by going straight to the final boss.
Because they give you save states to begin with, but then there's also these weird little like extra bits. I think it's cool. I also think it's weird. And I think it's weird what they have chosen to give you and what they have just left untouched. If they ever do a like Castlevania's on these, I will guarantee you Castlevania 2 will just give you everything to start with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And max level and everything.
Yeah.
And I think there's somewhere that's kind of fun for. Like the Metroid one that just starts you in Ridley's Lair with all the stuff. I'm like, you know, that's... If you're just going to jump into Metroid, you're probably going to have more fun doing that than starting from the beginning.
If you just want to like play that section of the game, if you just want to play the end of Ninja Gaiden, then go for it. If you just want to like go straight to Ganon.
I don't think that's fun. I mean, well, look, here I am at the end of Metroid, but the whole experience of Metroid is playing through the whole thing. So,
but how many times have you played through Metroid?
Probably three.
Yeah, so there you go. Like, you've already done it. If you're
not everyone is
waiting for your food to arrive...
And you want to see the end of Metroid.
Yeah, these weird special versions don't supplant the actual version of the game.
Because they exist alongside them.
Yeah.
So there's no harm in their existing. Yeah. I think it's
cool.
Weird, but okay, it's neat.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Yeah,
Dr. Mario is level 20 on Dr. Mario, which is the final level, I think.
I mean, you could do even more with it.
You have to be so old to play that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could do even more with it if they were willing to actually like ROM hack it and change up things in the game, but they're not doing that. It's just a save state. But that means it's really cheap for them to do, and it gives you some interesting possibilities nonetheless.
All right, Ben, what's your pick for WTF?
For what do I? So my thing that I found on there that's really weird is City Connection. how is this here? I don't know. So
it's because Jalico, who owns the rights to that, or whatever holding company, I think D4 or whatever, bought the rights to Jalico's catalog.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yeah, and just put it out there.
Here you go. So, just give us money.
So you're this girl driving a Honda Civic, like a literal Honda Civic, like that's what you're in. And it's this little like side-scrolling puzzle game, basically, where there's like three or four levels of platforms, and there's like some famous cityscape in the background. That is the City Connection. You're looking at a city, but it really, it's just three platforms, like a lot of really early platforming games. And you're trying to drive your car over every square inch of platform.
Painting the town orange.
Yeah, you're painting the town, or green.
Something like that.
You're painting the town green. You're trying to drive your car over every square inch of platforms in the level, and there's like police cars that you have to avoid, and weirdly there's cats with flags that are even more deadly than the police cars.
Cats are rough, man.
Yeah, I don't know. But so it's just this weird little puzzle game. You paint the whole level, I mean, kind of Pac-Man-esque, and then you move on to the next level, and you're in a Honda Civic, and
It's not a great game. Yeah.
I mean, it's not awful, but there's nothing special about it.
It reminds me of Mappy or Mappy Land. I can't remember which one, where you have different levels. And you're on a trampoline.
Mappy Land was like just a standard platform.
Okay, yeah. Kind of reminds me of Mappy, but it's not the same.
I interviewed someone at Tokyo Game Show whose company is called City Connection. It's like he is the guy whose company bought the rights to this game. I guess he really
liked it. It's owned by its own little thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird thing for someone to have latched onto because it's just kind of so forgettable and just there.
All right, Benj, what's your pick?
I'm going to change it from what I wrote and say volleyball, probably.
But we already talked about that one.
But I mean, it's terrible.
It's not good.
Soccer.
Yeah, but you understand why it's on there. Like
it's on there because they put on all their early sports games.
So what I wrote is Star Soldier because it's just sort of like the kind of game I would never buy or rent. Because it looks like a kind of cheap game. It's just a shooter game.
Yeah, that one's for the Japanese audience, because that game was big over there. Mm. It was huge.
Did it have a different name there?
No, it was just Star Soldier. Huh. But there were tons of sequels to it. It was a competitive game. You know, Master Takahashi, who did the 16 shots.
Presses, yeah.
This was the game where he was like, I can do 16 bullets in a second.
Huh.
So there you go.
Yeah. I didn't realize that was this game.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, my pick is Kung Fu Heroes, which is god-awful. Mm-hmm. And
what is this?
It's like it's this sort of top-down brawler-ish game with these sort of like rambling open levels. And it's not good and fun. I've had to cover a sequel on Game Boy Works, and it's also not good and fun. And it was by Culture Brain. I don't even know who owns Culture Brain's catalog now, but somehow this game showed up on Nintendo Switch Online, and we're all a little worse for it.
It's almost really cute, but it's in a weird uncanny valley where it's just gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of the games where I avoided it back in the day because it looked
really dumb.
Yeah, I mean, although now that I'm playing it, it's not as horrible as I thought it was, but, you know.
No, it's playable!
No, but you play it for more than, you know, a few seconds, and you're like, okay, I'm done.
I'm done playing this game.
Talked about NES. Let's power through Super NES because that was where we really got started here. So, we're going to do the same categories here. Games that you think are kind of played out and you'd like to see less of. Ben, where are you with this one?
I mean, I don't know if I really fit this category with this one either.
Yeah,
but
I think you guys.
I'm not sure if we were really, really, really getting the sense of this category. I was just picking something that I'm like, this doesn't really need to be here. And mine for that was Stunt Race FX, because it's, you know, it's one of those ones that was showing off the FX chip.
But this game hasn't been reissued in any other format. It's like, true. The fact that it's here is like, hey, wow, this game appeared from nowhere.
Okay.
It's
terrible. Yeah, this is the wrong category for this.
It's okay if you want to say, like, we could see less of Super Mario World.
Yeah.
We won't hate you for it.
I mean,
that's Mario, so mine is the only one that applies.
I knew I was going to get your goat.
Mine is the only one that applies to this category, then. Pilot Wings.
Yeah, let's go. Okay, we'll go with
because it's like an old standard, but it's terrible. It's not that great.
Terrible. Come on.
I mean, what's the attraction to this game that's hard to control? It's just not that exciting. I guess it was
airplanes are hard to control, Benj.
So it's realistic. You're trying to say.
Yeah.
So it's a Mode 7 flying simulator.
Yeah. I mean, it was the first thing really really showing off the Mode 7 stuff.
Although this is supposedly one of Paul McCartney's favorite video games.
Huh.
When he's been interviewed.
This in Destiny.
Is it because it has jets?
Yes, of course. That was really great, Chris. So I think it's just because this is the only video game he ever played, and if anyone asks him, has he ever played? It has wings in it, too. Yeah, that's great.
Wow, he's very entertained by his own joke. All right, Chris, what do you pick as a kill it from Nintendo Switch Online for Super NES?
Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Okay.
Because, like, again, I think this is a very prominent game, and a lot, like, this one shows up everywhere as well. But I was looking at what's available, and it's worth noting that the Super NES section, as we're recording this, is very new, so there's not nearly as much as there is on the NES. But you think about Capcom, like, arguably the greatest, most prolific third-party developer of its era, like, of these two eras, the 16-bit era and the 8-bit era, and you think about how many era-defining games they put out, and what we get here is Ghouls and Ghosts and Demon's Crest, because those are the ones that no one will buy separately. Like, we don't get Mega Man, we don't get DuckTales, these. We don't get Street Fighter, which is like a huge deal for Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Or Street Fighter 2. I mean, come on.
Yes.
I mean, Demon's Crest, there's just not enough of the series there to put together in a package, but that game is, like, really expensive. It's like, yeah, I mean, $200 for the cartridge.
Right.
These
yeah,
days.
But like it's that because it's rare or because people like playing it.
Because it's rare and also it's good.
No, it's okay. Fine.
Yeah. If we're using Street Fighter 2 as our barometer for whether a game is worthwhile, like its popularity, then basically everything should be thrown into the trash.
Yeah, like Super Mario World, Super Metroid, Street Fighter, and
Super Metroid Zelda. Did not sell anywhere near Super Street Fighter 2.
I'm just saying, like,
so
it
throw
seems
it out.
Like
nope,
weird...
Super Metroid is gone. It's dead.
Fine,
no more.
Fine, I'll take it.
You just wasted all your time. With the bathwater.
It just feels like a weird choice for what to put on here.
Yeah, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, I think, probably sold really well, but I don't think it's that fun.
Yeah, it's not.
Some people really like it.
Enjoy it.
I would much rather play Demon's Crest than go back to Super Ghouls and Ghosts. So I would keep Demon's Crest and throw out Ghouls and Ghosts if that's what we're going to do, yeah.
Think about, like...
There's all kinds of other Capcom stuff that could be on here.
There's so much other Capcom stuff that could be here before this. That's all.
So actually, yeah, looking at this list again, trying to find something that's like a standard that I would do with that, I would actually go back with Benj. I think actually Pilot Wings, because there's just not that much here, and a lot of the standards
even
that are
over
here are
F-Zero?
F-Zero is great.
I would rather play F-Zero.
So great.
I would rather play F-Zero than Pilot Wings.
F-Zero being here is what makes
single player racing game.
It's fun. It's a good one.
If I had to pick, I would rather play F-Zero.
Yeah, me too.
F-Zero being here is what makes Stunt Race FX being here feel so weird.
Right.
Because if you're going to play one of them, you're always going to play F-Zero.
F-Zero, yeah.
All right, yep. So my pick is Joe and Mac 2, because that is a Data East game, and it is one of those where the company is just like, who cares if anyone likes this? We're just going to keep putting it out. It's so, like, Joe and Mac 2 has shown up so many places lately. It's really weird. And of all the games to just be resurfaced...
Why like the cartridge? Yeah. The cartridge release?
Yeah, there was a cartridge reissue, yeah, and it's been on Retrobit systems, and...
That is weird.
Yeah, I'm just... I'm like way, okay, but... way over Joe and Mac 2. Yeah. let's say highlights, games that you were surprised to see here. Benj, what do you think?
Let's see. What did I put? Kirby's Dream Land 3. I was surprised. And Kirby's Dream Course. Although other people really love those games. They were not my favorite ones.
Dream Course was on the Super NES Classic, but Dream Land 3 has been largely forgotten.
Yeah. There are other... You know, when I think of Kirby games, I think Kirby's Adventure or... I don't know. The Game Boy Advance Kirby's are really good, and later ones, and then but Kirby's Dream Land 3, yeah, sort of fell through the cracks at the time.
It was like a 1998 release.
Yeah, I didn't know it existed. Like,
who was buying Super NES games at that point?
Yeah, it's cool to see that resurface.
It's rare, and it's probably valuable now. And I had a chance to buy it back then. I should have, but should it's have. Sort of.
Isn't but now it? You can play it for $20 a year on Switch Online.
Yeah, it's a great deal. It's got a crayon aesthetic, kind of like Super Mario World 2.
You mean Yoshi's Island?
Yeah. Same thing.
No one calls it Super Mario World 2.
I do.
They put that on the title Yoshi's screen Island. In the U.S. just because they were World like, two, let's quote, just make quote. Sure people know what this is. All right. So, yeah, that's a good pick. I do appreciate those games. Chris, I think this is your moment, your chance to shine. Tell us.
Let's talk about Brawl Brothers.
Okay, tell us about Brawl. I keep saying it, Brawl Brothers.
So you actually, I feel like you moved categories on this because you started the we should do this with what the fuck, how is Brawl Brothers on here?
Oh, but. It's surprising, but I'm like, I think it is a genuine highlight of what is on here.
Tell us about Brawl Brothers.
I remember the box art of this one because the box art of this is very, very bad. And the previous game in the series is even worse. I forget the title of it, but they were the Rushing Beat series in Japan. Again, this brings me back to why isn't Final Fight here? But I actually think I would rather have Brawl Brothers because Brawl Brothers is weirder and more that makes it more fun. There's so many weird quirks to it, and keeping a side-scrolling beat-em-up interesting is very difficult. Like, I love Final Fight, and I love Maximum Carnage, but, like, how many levels before you get really bored of seeing the same things? If you are going to play this, though, you should go into the options menu at the start and turn on Angry Mode. Do you guys know about Angry Mode?
No, tell us about Angry Mode.
Is that where Kirby's eyebrows turn into the American box art eyebrows?
Yes. When your health gets really low, you start flashing red and you go into like beast mode and start like throwing dudes around. I didn't know about this until I was researching the game to talk about it. And I went in and played with it a little bit. And it switches things up just enough that it makes being low on health kind of exciting, which is a thing that a lot of side-scrolling beat-em-ups don't do. There's also a weird quirk to it where you pick two characters at the start of the game, and basically one of them you're playing as, one of them's just not there, and the other three playable characters are bosses.
Weird.
That show up later in the game. Huh. So you can get a slightly different version of the game as you play through it, depending on who you pick. It's a bunch of really neat concepts, and it otherwise plays as good as a Final Fight or a Streets of Rage, I think, in a way that I find very entertaining.
It's like an underrated gem, you're saying.
Yeah. Why have we never heard of this game? Like, what happened to it?
Again, like, I think it's one of those games where the box art is really bad, and so if you were looking at...
I get this mixed up with Tough Enough.
If you were at Blockbuster or Sycamore Video on McCrae's Mill Road when I was a kid, and you saw this next to Final Fight, Final Fight's box art is way better. You're always going to pick that. This is just some dude with gloves, like, doing a pose.
There's only one of them? Not even brothers? There's, like,
there's just one dude on the cover.
Yeah. It's not Brawl Brothers, Brawl Bro. Just Brawl.
No, just one Brawl Brother.
Brawl Bro.
If this game was called Brawl Brother, I think that it would have made it better.
All right. Ben, where are you going with this one?
So I actually went with this Breath of Fire. And it's not because Breath of Fire is in itself an amazing game. I mean, it's got a lot of cool concepts in it, which were fleshed out better in later sequels. It's a little bit clunky. But just right now, I mean, things are a little sparse on the Super NES selections. There's not a lot of RPGs on there. There's a lot of RPGs they're probably not going to get there because they're being resold in their own separate versions. But it's just it was good to have to sort of round out the selection that's on there right now, I think.
Breath of Fire is a weird one because it was published in the U.S. by Square.
Right, it was published by Square.
There's been speculation
Capcom
that, even though it's a Capcom game, there's been speculation that Square owns the U.S. localization. So anytime, I don't know, that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
I mean, so anytime it pops up someplace, like it doesn't show up consistently. they remade it for Game Boy Advance, and I don't think it was ever on Virtual Console, was
yeah,
it?
It is weird where it is and isn't, but it's in kind of this limbo.
It's kind of weird and inaccessible, so it's always a little surprise when it shows up. Yeah, it's not that great, and definitely compared to the game that it took the place of, which was Final Fantasy V, it did not deserve to come to the U.S., but it is what it is, and that's how it goes. All right, so for my picks here, one, we mentioned Demon's Crest, and I'm pleased that it's there. Because it is a good game. It's very Metroidvania-ish and also demonic. Mm. You get to play as the demon bad guy, so that's cool. But also, more notably, Super Puyo Puyo 2.
Yes.
Which the Puyo Puyo series did not make a lot of headway in the U.S. for a long time. We got Kirby's Avalanche and Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, which were conversions of, I think, the first Puyo Puyo game. Maybe
were they both the first one?
Or maybe one of them was... I don't know. I think they were the same game. Hmm. I did not research that.
Not sure.
But anyway, it's a fun little puzzle game, kind of like Puzzle Fighters, and has cute artwork, and you're matching blobs that stick together and have big gooey eyes.
I seconded this in the notes because I love Puyo Puyo. I played the hell out of like some Puyo Puyo like shareware clones on Macintosh back in the day and got really, really good at it. But it's cool to have this showing up as an actual franchise in the US, since, as you said, it got kind of reskinned every time we saw it back in the day because it starred, like, you know, a little cute anime girl and her weird animal companions.
I think the first time it came to the US under its own name was in like 2004, 2005. Yeah,
it took a long time.
It was very slow coming over here.
So it's cool for it to actually be a thing, because it's a really good, like I said, you know, after like Tetris, it's probably my favorite, most enduring, like, falling colored things game. It's just, it's a really good formula, and it executes it really well.
What does Puyo Puyo mean in Japanese? Does it have any meaning?
Nothing whatsoever.
Is it onomatopoeia of some kind?
I don't think, it's not really a word, but I'm sure it's supposed to invoke, like, squishy, squishy, you know?
Yeah, an onomatopoeia. It's like I don't know. But that's a great game.
Finally, WTF. How did this stuff get on here on the Super NES? Starting with me saying, Super Tennis? Really? We have 20 slots for games on Super NES for Nintendo Switch Online, and you pick Super Tennis? Like, who was asking for this? It was an okay tennis game,
sports
but...
thing. It's a nod to sports
games. I guess. It was Nintendo published, but it was developed by Tosei and was not really anything of note in Japan. But here they were like, this is actually the sequel to Nintendo NES Tennis.
Super
but it's
tennis.
Not.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's okay. The most notable thing about this game is that the Japanese version, when you missed the ball or like lost the game, there was a little cutscene where your character said, shit! They cut that out for the US.
Wow.
I want the Japanese version.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
Chris, you didn't put anything for WTF.
Yeah. There's so few games on here. Like you said, there's 20 slots, and obviously there's going to be more. They've been parceling out the...
Are they?
Well, they've been parceling out the NES games, so theoretically, I assume they'll be doing the same.
He knows. He's got insider
access. Interesting theory. No, I don't know anything. I'm just saying, like...
But I mean, like, as long as
themselves.
As Switch Online has existed, like, they have been updating the selection of NES games, so I assumed it would be the same. But I feel like it is much more shocking as to what's not here than what actually is. I feel like this is Nintendo Switch Online is cheap enough that if you want it at all, you've already got it. But that makes me feel like they're not treating it as a selling point, because there's so many games that I think would be much more likely to be selling points than Super Tennis, than other games that aren't Joe and Mac 2 that we don't have. Wow. There's no Super Castlevania. There's no Super Contra.
Those are on collections. Yeah. Those are being sold individually.
It's because it's because they're being monetized elsewhere, which sucks. I feel like this could be like a really must-have service if it had the depth of library that had the stuff that you remember.
But instead, it's more like musty.
Yeah, and so I think like my what the fuck pick is a consequence.
Language,
of,
wow.
Yeah. Oh, so jeez, my man. WTF is a consequence of that same thing. So I put down Super EDF here, Super Earth Defense Force, which is not the Earth Defense Force that everyone knows recently.
Sadly.
From the series that's
There's
been mostly on...
There's a single giant ant in this game.
Yeah, giant ant. That's mostly been on Xbox. It's this weird sci-fi schlocky thing, and it's great. No, this is just, it's a side-scrolling sci-fi shooter. It's a fairly standard, like, it doesn't look bad. It looks like a perfectly competent side-scrolling sci-fi shooter. It does some interesting things with options. But it's one that no one's ever heard of. And, you know, there's all these other options on Super Nintendo. There's, like, Gradius 3, which had some slowdown, but was completely gorgeous. There's, like, Darius games. There's all kinds of stuff. All of which are in their own collections right now.
That's which true, is yeah.
probably why they're not here. And so we just get this random side scroller that no one ever really remembers at all. And it's just kind of there. Yeah.
Binge, you and Chris can fight it out now.
Well, I take it back because Chris really sold me on how great Brawl Brothers is.
So it's surprising I believe that it's here. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
it's surprising. Like actually but really fun.
I was going to say probably Super Soccer, but then I played it and it's not that bad. It's actually kind of neat Mode 7 version of soccer. I mean, I'm not a big sports game fan, but I don't know. You've picked, I would put probably Joe and Mac 2 would be my first, like, what the heck is this doing here kind of thing.
Okay, so there's not a lot to say about Super NES on Nintendo Switch Online yet.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't help that there's only
what
like
would you guys
games.
Like to see in the future? Not just for Super NES, but, you know, any platform. What? How do you want Super NSO to evolve?
Two C's, Castlevania and Contra.
Okay, yeah. But you can already get those on Switch.
Okay, well, Mario RPG, I don't know.
That's
some
not really
Mega
like,
Man?
Okay, sure. Mega Man you can get as a collection on Switch.
I know, but it should be in this thing, like Chris was saying. It should be, they should merge them together.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff.
20 Mega Man games across, like, three collections. Yeah. It's crazy.
There's, like, classic stuff you can get elsewhere that would make sense here, except that it's already in other collections, like all of Capcom's old platformers, the Disney Afternoon stuff. But so the NES thing that I wrote down that I would love to see show up on here is Clash at Demon Head. Which is maybe a little on the nose for where I know Jeremy from, but it's a weird, fun game, and it's not in any collections because it's not, you know, it doesn't belong to a franchise. It's just kind of out there as its own weird sort of sci-fi fantasy platformer. It's not really a Metroidvania because it's separated into the stages, but it has some of those elements in it and that you can go back and forth around the map with new abilities. And it's just, it's kind of cool and weird and out there, and I would love to see it on this.
What I'd love to see are some of the really great Famicom games that never came to America and probably translated to, like Moon Crystal or Sweet Home.
That would be interesting.
Like that crazy robot fighting game that Nintendo made. What's that called?
Joy Mech Fight.
Yeah, some interesting really stuff that we missed in America would be really fun to put out on this. It would give people an opportunity to play them without having to hunt them down and get a Famicom and stuff. Chris?
I feel like it's almost enough for Nintendo to be like, hey, play Link to the Past on an airplane whenever you want. And that's like, sure, I'll pay you money for that for the rest of my life. But if we're talking like absolute, you know, no limits wish list of what we'd like to see, I would like to see the kind of famous marquee titles, because I think that would be a good selling point.
Such as?
Mega Man, Castlevania, Contra.
Capcom.
All the stuff that you can get elsewhere, but... You know, you can buy Blu-rays of Stranger Things if you want, but I don't know why you would.
Because at some point, Netflix is going to die, and then you won't be able to watch those again.
That's true.
I was about to say something very dark, but...
we're all going to die?
But yeah, like, along the lines of what you were saying, Benj, like, I would really like to see some stuff that has been widely available, like, through fans, get, like, an official release. Sailor Moon Another Story was one that immediately popped up, which is the Super NES RPG... that was never released in America and was only fan translated.
I mean, heck, if we're doing that, throw Magic Knight's Rare Earth on there,
Also, I would really like to see Rockin' Cats for the NES, which I think is a highly underrated game. It's really, really fun. I want to say Atlas, maybe? That one?
Yeah.
I loved that game when I was a kid. I think it holds up as a super weird and underrated platformer. It's got a cool aesthetic. It's got cool ideas. No one cares about it, so like, go ahead and toss it on there, and it'll be a selling point for me alone. But yeah, like, I think that would be a super fun one to have. Also, obviously, DuckTales.
What about like
all the Disney Afternoon
Teenage
stuff,
Mutant Ninja Turtles? Turtles in Time. Or to the arcade game on the NES.
Another fun thing that seems like could actually happen because Nintendo published it is Super Nintendo SimCity. I mean, it was published by... I mean, I know there's...
Or they could put the NES SimCity out there.
Or
it was never released.
That's true. There's the... Yeah.
Here's my bold statement. Anything that has a character in Smash Brothers should be on this. Metal Gear should be on this. Castlevania should be on this.
Okay, I don't think we're getting Persona 5 on...
Persona 5!
You should get Persona 5 on Switch.
Now I have one last idea. Prototypes... of Mario games in development.
Boy, they are never going to do that one.
No, that's not.
Thanks
happen.
For playing.
Bioforce.
I just fell down a pit.
Here. There you go. Or a Cheetah Man.
No, like, I think there's so many games out there that I think you this could be such a great resource and archival project. Even if I don't want to play, I don't know, what did I not want to play? Techno Bowl. You know, I don't want to play for the Techno Bowl. Somebody out there wants to see it, so good on you.
Yeah.
As for myself, I just would like for it not to stop having new games, because that is a distinct possibility. Nintendo may be like, yeah, that's enough, we're done. I would love to see Virtual Boy and Game Boy on there, Game Boy mm-hmm. Advance. That'd be great.
But Game Boy Advance would be so good on Switch.
I'm not holding my breath, but it would be cool.
That would be awesome.
And we could finally get the screamy version of Super Mario Brothers 2. Doesn't everyone love that?
Oh, God. Thank you. Get out.
Wow, that was creepy.
That wasn't me.
Get the Wario Land games on here, because those are good. Yeah. Super Mario Land on the Switch would also be very, very good.
Yeah.
Just put all games on Switch, damn it.
Yes.
All right, so that's it for this episode. Guys, who the hell are you?
I'm Chris Sims. Please don't be mad at me for talking trash about Demon's Crest or Tecmo Bowl or whatever your favorite game is. You can find me on the Bad website, Twitter, as @theisb. That's T-H-E-I-S-B. Mostly, what you will find there is links to other podcasts that I do. I mentioned my podcasting partner, Matt Wilson. We recently ranked our 1,000th comic on our Every Story Ever list, which is a best to worst ranking of every comic book ever published. So check that out.
It seems like a moving target.
And I'm Benj Edwards. You can find me on Twitter at benjedwards.com/awesome.
Wow. Ben?
I'm Ben Elgin. You can find me on Twitter at Kirin, K-I-R-I-N-N. Maybe I'll tweet something about Puyo Puyo. More likely maybe. About beer, though.
Don't tease us, man.
Yeah, probably not. It'll probably just be a beer and maybe horrible gooses.
I don't know. The goose game.
All right, and speaking of horrible geese, I'm Jeremy Parrish. You can find me on Twitter as GameSpite. And actually, I have nothing to do with geese. I lied. I'm sorry to disappoint you. But you can find Retronauts, this podcast, at retronauts.com and on iTunes and other assorted podcatchers. And you can support us through Patreon, patreon.com/retronauts for $3 a month. You can, what can you do? Oh, yeah, you get this podcast a week early ahead of the public feed at a higher bitrate quality than on the public feed, and without those ads that show up sometimes. And also, if you pay more, like a lot more, you can request a topic so you don't have to hear us talk about stuff like this.
I was going to say, all the episodes play twice the rate, twice as fast.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, if you pay extra, we'll cut out Vince jokes.
Okay. Rufus Burns for Jeremy Parrish today.
Oh. All right. I'm kidding.
And this is my last appearance on Retronauts. Thanks,
this
everybody.
This show wouldn't be the same without Binge's jokes, and if you don't like them, that's too bad. Anyway, we're done here. We're calling it a night. Good night. Sleep well.